right? We're doing the heart of recovery, and tonight is to let it go or keep going.
Easy going.
Okay, I was close. I'm still on Interstate 80. Come on, man. You guys hit me up. Okay, anyway, y'all, you're in for a treat. Give it up for Bruce tonight. Come on, give it up for Bruce.
Thank you. Thanks, Dyke. Let's give Dyke a hand for stepping up tonight. He wasn't scheduled, but we had a mix-up, and he stepped right up. And, you know, that's how recovery works. You step up when you're asked, right? It's regardless, even if you feel inadequate, God will supply the power if you just step up. And what's the worst could happen, right? Let me pray. Lord, thank you for recovery. Thank you for the concept of recovery, the 12 steps. We thank you for those. We know that they're inspired by you, Lord. We pray, Lord, tonight as I talk about recovery, that your words come through my mouth and that people understand what I'm saying, and it penetrates hearts and changes lives. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So tonight, our topic is, if I can figure out how to use the clicker. There it is. Okay. Easy does it. Slow down. We've been doing this harder recovery series. This is our seventh series, and it's unbelievable. It seems like it hasn't been that long, but it was David Thorne's great idea, who runs a recovery place, because why are we here? Because we're in recovery, and you know, we need practical things about how to be in recovery. What being in recovery means, being just clean and sober, just not using, is not recovery. Okay. Recovery doesn't say right there, all we have to do is have one step, stop using. It doesn't have that as 12 steps, right? There's some things that we have to do, our part, right? God's the one that supplies the power, but our part, there's our part. And that's why they have 12 steps here. It's the whole reason behind the 12 steps is to develop a relationship with God so that He can run our lives, because we're the ones that screwed it up, and the only one that can fix it is God. So my topic is Easy Does It. This is our last one in this series. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I know when I got in recovery, I wanted to have everything back that I lost or that I hadn't gotten yet. I wanted to get, you know, I wanted a job, and I wanted a house, and I wanted a girlfriend and a wife. But usually the wife was first, right? Because that's all you need is a wife, and that'll fix everything, right? Or a girlfriend, right? No, or a wife or a husband or a significant other. And you would be surprised, I've been around this for about 15 years, and that's usually the first one, that I need a girlfriend, and that'll help me to and it actually makes it worse, because it really reveals your brokenness even more when you're with another person, right? It just magnifies it. That's what it does. Yes. So part of recovery is Easy Does It. That's one of the things. If you go to AA room, they have all these slogans, you know, first things first, Easy Does It, all these different slogans. And there's a reason for those. This book right here, I don't know if you're all in recovery, if you're an alcoholic and you haven't read this book, you really need to, because there's some real practical things in here that tell you. I remember this was my lifeblood when I first got into recovery. I remember going to Living Sober meetings, right? And we'd read a chapter, and it was practical stuff. It wasn't, you know, it was just practical things to do in your life. And so, I'm going to read out of it because I couldn't convey it any better than they do. So I'm going to start out with reading out of here. If I have my glasses. Hi. And let me tell you, let me also tell you one thing. My wife's here now. And so, and actually, I'm glad, because you know what? What I'm here, I'm not trying to just teach this to you or tell you. I'm teaching this to myself, because my wife will tell you, if you ask her afterwards, if anybody needs Easy Does It, I do. Right? Easy Does It, slow down. Right? Everything doesn't have to be fixed right now. And we're going to see some examples of Jesus, how he lived his life later, about how, you know, because the man's ministry was 3 years long, and he did more in those 3 years than any of us ever did, right? And I don't know about you, but I think I have a really busy life, but nothing compared to what Jesus did, right? And he did everything that God wanted him to do, and he finished it in 3 years, right? I'm at 50, how many now? I forgot, 56 or something like that, and I still are not even close to finishing, right? Which is, so we take examples, because Jesus came here. He was God in flesh, coming in to manifest himself to us. as a man, so that he could show us how we're supposed to live, right? Jesus, as a man, even though he was God, he gave those rights up. He gave up that thing so that he could show us how human beings are supposed to work. We're supposed to rely on God for everything. He's supposed to rely on the Father. God, like Ed Woodhull always says, Jesus never did anything, said anything, went anywhere without checking with the Father, right? And Ed even used to say, even brushing our teeth, something as mundane as brushing our teeth, God should be involved in every part of our life. And we think that, wow, I got this, I got, but I tell you right now, the more I've surrendered to that, the more I've gotten a life, the more life I've gotten, the more serenity and peace. And I got a long ways to go. And that's why this stuff, I'm reading this, I'm like, I'm way far away from doing this stuff. And, so I know that my wife's here, I can't lie. So I'll tell you the truth that, so I'm going to read the first part. This is actually called Easy Does It, right? In Living Sober. If you get this book and you're in early recovery, this is a really good book because it has all sorts of topics in here that are what you'll come up against when you're trying to stay sober or stay clean. And it doesn't have to be drugs and alcohol. This can apply to anything in our lives that we're obsessive over or that's damaging our life that we can't stop, right? This, you can apply this. So you just take alcohol out and put sin in there. Same with the 12 steps. You know, we're powerless over sin. Their lives have become unmanageable. So it says here, and I know you all going to know you're going to hear yourself in here. As alcoholics, we often tended to gulp drinks faster than other people did. And we were seldom likely to overlook the last few drops in the cocktail glass or the last few slugs in the bottle. I used to go to parties and the party would be over. Everybody asleep. I'd be going around taking all the cups that weren't finished. That's what me and my friends used to do. That was the people I hung out with. The people that stayed up till 4 a.m, till all of them passed out, and then we got to keep drinking. Many of us have been amused at our seemingly inability, even after many years of sobriety, to walk away from a half-finished cup of coffee or glass of soda. Yeah, you guys relate? We sometimes find ourselves gulping the last swallow of a non-alcoholic drink as if, period, period, period. That's what it says in the book, right? As if, and you can fill in the blanks, right? That's how I do it. I got a last cup of coffee. I got to guzzle it down. I couldn't just leave it there. I can't. I still can't to this day. But it's not alcohol. Perhaps most readers already get this point. It is not always easy for us to put down an unfinished page, chapter, or book we are reading. My wife will tell you that. There seems almost to be a compulsion to go on to the end instead of taking only a page or chapter or two a day and leaving the rest for another session. Not that this tendency is altogether bad. So, you know, my own compulsion is to read the next chapter. You know, I want to learn all this right now. So I'll read the whole book and I'll be good, right? To go, no, it doesn't work that way. It's one thing at a time, right? It's taking this thing easy. And part of it is that, you know, the wife, the job and all those things, those will come, right? It says in, I think it's First John, I believe, but it says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So part of it, what that means is, because the last time I taught was, I said one day at a time. So these kind of coexist, these kind of are linked together, one day at a time, and easy does it, right? It's, so part of it is that in recovery, you can worry about your job and your wife and all those things, but the problem is if you don't stay sober, you're going to lose them all anyway. Because I did that. I got all those things, and then I didn't keep my sobriety, and I lost all those things. And I got them back again, and I lost them again. You know, over and over, it gets kind of tiring after, you know, getting all these things back and having success and then ruining it. And because most of it is because I didn't put what's easy does it means put priorities. Do what's the most important, right? Not the most urgent. I have a little book called The Tyranny of the Urgent here. And this has really helped me a lot because we're just busy, man, especially in this place. And, you know, part of it is when I go walk somewhere, my wife always tells me, slow down. And I have a hard time walking because I got a hip replacement and a knee, but I'm always walking fast. You know why? Because I want to get it over with and get there. That's why. Right? Not enjoying it on the way or, you know, because that's what we're supposed to do. And because when you're rushing to everything, it's not life. It's something else. So it says, not that this tendency is altogether bad, talking about, you know, compulsions to the end, finishing thing, and getting over destructive obsessions such as drinking using, whatever you put it in there. It's sensible to replace it with the benign ones, such as a compulsion to seek more and more knowledge and help for a drinking problem, right? So easy does it, right? On the things that are the most important. That means stand sober, because like I said, you'll lose everything anyway, right? I love this book. So it says here in the book, so read on if you like. It's a whole lot healthier than boozing, right? So this is healthier. But you can obsess over things. You can be compulsive about anything. And if you're compulsive about it, it takes away from what it was designed to do in the beginning, right? To be compulsive. So it's better to be compulsive about recovery than anything else. But you can be compulsive about anything. That's not good. So it says here, so read on if you like. It's a whole lot healthier than boozing. But when you reach the end of this section, you might want to try something. Put this book aside and review your day. See how many times you could have slowed down a bit or taken things a little easier if you had thought of it. So this thing's, because we're on automatic pilot all the time. It's like boom, 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 boom. We never think about it. I don't. But we have to slow down sometimes and just think about, what am I doing? Is this really important? Is this really worth rushing for? And see, my wife's looking at me like, this is great. Thank you, hon. she's going, yes, you do. You need to do that. She's going to be reminding me of this stuff. The slogan, easy does it, is one way we AAs remind each other that many of us have tendencies at times to overdo things, to rush heedlessly along, impatient with anything that slows us down. We find it hard to relax and savor life. And that's the way I lived most of my life. And I still catch myself doing that on a regular basis, semi-regular basis, you know. And like, I knew I was going to speak tonight, right? And I didn't do a whole lot of time, prep time, but I know this stuff because I know I need to do these things. I need this stuff. And I'm not like running around with my hair on fire like I used to. Every time, I used to always run around with my hair on fire. And I'll tell you, it's a whole lot better life to not have that, to have this peace in my life that I can't explain. Well, I can't explain. It's Jesus Christ. It's surrendering to Him and letting Him be the Lord of my life. That's the key. That's what sets us free, right? I could read this whole thing, but I'm going to go on to this. It says, we share a need. Oh God, I thought it was like 20 to 9 already. we share a need to learn how to relax, how to pace ourselves in a healthy way, how to enjoy small gains and even the simple pleasures along the way. In short, how to enjoy the journey instead of just fretting until we reach our destination. That's me. The horizon stays there. Sometimes it pays to stand still and gaze at it for the refreshment of the long look, right? It's like, stop for a minute. And I'm looking at the, you know, it's like my wife loves the beach, you know. It's nothing like looking out on the ocean and just, right, you know, there's nothing for me to rush to out there. I can just relax, right? And then here's me. Some of us repeatedly find, too, that we have bitten off more than even a hippo could chew. You guys know that one, right? We keep taking on more commitments than any one person can handle. And man, I do that. I have such a hard time with that. I take, you know, it's like I'm doing all the right things, but I take on a whole bunch of things and think that this isn't going to get done if I don't do it, right? And you'll find that a lot of times if you say no, they'll find someone else and they'll do even better than you would have. Because if you have so many things, you can only do so many things and you can't do any of them well if you're doing so many things at the same time, right? And like I said, I need to learn this more than anybody in this room. Some of us work out routines to help us keep our goals realistically within the realm of possibility. My wife, I'll be like, we get up, like I said, we got a half an hour. And I'm like emptying garbage cans and emptying the dish rack and all this. And I got to take a shower still and get ready for work. And she's all, how are you going to do that? You know, and I finally just say, okay, I I got to sweep this thing in the corner. What am I doing? I only got a half an hour. So some of us work out routines to help us keep our goals realistically within the realm of possibility, right? So it's like, if I'm going to schedule something, it has to take thought and most of all, listening to God. Because what God has for us is the most important. That's why Jesus was able to do this in 3 years. Because He listened to God and God said, this is what I want you to do. And He did that. And He finished it in 3 years. I mean, you know, He was 30 years old when this started, but really the part that He did, the things that He did that He was created for, what He was came down here for, He did in 3 years, right? And I can't even scratch the surface in 56 years, right? So part of it is if you're doing what God wants you to do, you'll have enough time, right? And like I said, I'm horrible at this. For a great many of us, sitting quietly alone for 15 or 20 minutes before starting each day's activities help us set out in a relaxed, orderly frame of mind. I was reading this C.S. Lewis, I think it was Mere Christianity, I think it was that book, but he said something like this. I'm paraphrasing, but he said something like, when you wake up in the morning, everything rushes at you like wild animals, right? Like, I got to do this. I got that appointment. I got this going. I got to get, right? And that's what that blocks God out of it, right? It's like, ah, I got to do all these things. And, you know, I try to, my wife and I try to pray before we get out of bed because it's already happening. It's like, ah, I got to do this. I got that. How am I ever going to get all these things on? I got to do street church on Tuesday, speak on Friday at R&R, speak on Sunday on this day. And I'm like, ah. And Andy knows all about that. But you know what? The only reason Andy can do all the things that he does, Pastor Andy, is because God, he's relying on God, because he can't do it on his own. We can only do it with God. God's the only one that can do it. Anything that's worth anything. So it's real important for 15 or 20 minutes to just be alone. I mean, even at my desk, sometimes I'll just close my eyes and just stop thinking. Like 2 minutes of just talking to God, and you can hear him, because all the busyness just blocks God right out. You can't hear what he has to tell you. And Jesus was an example of that. Or we may simply decide to set out earlier in the day than we used to, so we can move with less hurry, right? And isn't that amazing? Like, if you're like just barely getting to work on time, you're like, ah, you jerk, get out of my way. And then if you leave like plenty of time, you're like, la, 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 la. You know, you're like, everything's wonderful, right? And then the guy that cuts you off doesn't make you mad, right? But that's it. So set yourself up, because, and I know me, that's me, right? I mean, that's me in a nutshell. You know, I'll try to do 5 more things, and I'm going to be all mad because the guy cut me off or whatever, right? And when we find ourselves uptight and even frantic, we can ask ourselves occasionally, am I really that indispensable? Is this hurry really necessary? What a relief to find the honest answer is frequently no. And such devices actually serve in the long run, not only to get us over our drinking problem and its old ways, they also enable us to become far more productive because we conserve and channel our energy better. We arrange priorities more sensibly. How much does it really matter is a very good question, right? I mean, how important is it for me to sweep up the dirt in the corner of the floor when I'm going to be late to work, right? Easy does it, and this is for me too, is easy does it gives us no license for procrastination or being late for appointment. Man, I'm still struggling with lateness, but you should have seen me before, man. If I was like a half hour late, I was on time as far as I was concerned. You know, if I'm within an hour, I'm good, right? And now, if you know, sometimes I'm like 5 minutes is good too, but it's not, because the other person's going, I'm expecting you there. And so procrastination can cause problems, because it's like easy does it. That doesn't mean don't do anything and let God do everything, right? No, it means don't be frantic about it. Do the most important things, right? All right, I'm halfway through. I'm right on time right now. Listen to this. There are things that should not be put off until tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow. I used to remember doing that, such as stopping drinking, right? But there are other things better delayed beyond this 24 hours to be tackled when we are better equipped to handle them. Do you remember tomorrow? I'm going to get clean tomorrow, Monday. I'll stop Monday. I stopped drinking and using like 1,700 Mondays, right? And it never happened. And I ended up getting clean on a Tuesday. So what the, no, I don't know. I don't remember the day, but I'm sorry. I can't help myself sometimes. But listen to this. This story is awesome right here. Once an extremely sick and agitated alcoholic called an AA office and said she had to have instant help. She was asked whether she could hold on 20 to 30 minutes until someone could be gotten to her. Oh no, she said. My doctor told me I had to have help right away, immediately, and there isn't a moment to lose. Then she went on, and that was a day before yesterday. So now it's really urgent. And, you know, notice how, because some people will come up and their emergency, all of a sudden, they want to make it your emergency. And if you do that, then you're giving them license to do that, right? And I do that. It's like, you know, now I try to most of the time say, you know what? Your emergency doesn't become my emergency, okay? If I can help you and have time, I can, but it's not my emergency. I have enough of my own emergencies. You know, I got to sweep that floor, corner floor, right? It's like enough emergencies, right? So, but that's, you know, and that, but it says here, our heart goes on to anyone in that dire condition. We all know all too well how it feels. Help did arrive for the excited caller within the hour. And now she tells the story on herself as an example of what she used to be like. It's almost incredible when you see how composed yet energetic, how calm but alert she is now. If a strong inner core of peace, patience, and contentment looks all desirable to you, it can be had. Okay, and it's about thinking about it. It's actually planning it out. You know, Lynn Fox, who's been mentoring me for a while, I've bought like two day planners things, right, that have it broken down to hours. She keeps telling me, Bruce, you got to just take these things and see where your time is being spent and do it. I'll do it. I'll get to it. It's been like I've been through two notebooks in the last 2 years that I still haven't done. And this, after teaching today, I'm going to do it. So you need to get a hold of me. No, seriously. No, I'm because this is making me do it. You know, when I teach something or speak on something, it makes me do the, it makes me, because I, then I'm just a hypocrite, right? So it's real important to do these. And now I see what she's talking about, because I'm going through this. I'm like, I gotta do this, right? It's like budgeting, money. So I got some scriptures here. So let's go. Easy does it, slow down. John 6:38 says, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." Right? So he's not doing, you know, whatever the one that sent him, that's what he's doing, right? And then in 17:4 it says, "I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do." 3 years, he's accomplished the work that God's gave him to do, right? Wow, is that like awesome? It gives me goosebumps because he did just what the Father wanted him to do. The mission that he came for, God gave him. And we all have some kind of mission that God's given us to do. And all the stuff that keeps us from it, it's just keeping us from finishing our mission that God has for us. So it's like listening to God is really, you know, I've been following the Lord for like 13 years now, and I'm still just finally feeling like I'm having some closer conversations with him. It's weird. It's like I always have, but now I'm feeling a little bit more. And it takes practice. You have to keep talking to God. And it's almost like I'm, you know, like if I'm talking to my wife, you know, like that, right? That's the kind of relationship I'm looking for. And so 3 years he did all this, right? In John 7, I forgot to put it down here. I have it in my mind, though. So this is Jesus, right? He says, "So his brother said to him," so he's been healing all these people, and he's like taking a respite for a while, and they're like, "Jesus, you got to come," right? This is what they tell him. "So his brother said to him, 'Leave here and go to Judea, that your disciples may also see the works you are doing. For no one works in secret if he seeks to be known openly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world.'" These guys are telling him, right? And he's all, "For not even his brothers believed in him. So Jesus said to them, 'My time has not yet come, but your time is always here. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify about it that its works are evil. You go up to the feast. I am not going to this feast, for my time has not yet fully come.'" After saying this, he remained in Galilee. Right? This, right? And, you know, me, I would have been on my way there to, you know, that's where I would have been. Because it's urgent. I got to go. Danger, Will Robinson, whatever, right? And Jesus is like, "No, I'm staying here. Sorry, guys," you know, and they couldn't understand. It's so exciting. They want him to do this. And he's all, "No, that's not what the Father asked me to do." So, and then in Mark 1, this is really important here. "And rising very early in the morning," just like I read about spending those time in the morning praying, rising very early in the morning while it was still dark, "he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed." Okay, so he's like going, okay, he's out there going, "God, what do you want me to do? What's next?" Right? He's not like going, "God, I got that thing I got to do. I got to take," right? He's like, "God, what's next?" Right? Everything else doesn't matter. To him, it's this, right? And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, "Everyone's looking." You know, could you just see him doing that? "Everyone's looking." And he said to them, "Let's go on to the next towns and I may preach there also. That is why I came out." And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons, right? And so the important thing is here is that regardless of what the human urgency is around him, he doesn't do it. He does what God tells him to do, right? He doesn't, even though this stuff's like, it's right in his face, he's kind of like, no, this is not what I'm supposed to do, because because he went and talked to the Father, and the Father told him what he wants to do. And no matter what anyone else tells him, he does what the Father tells him, right? That's what he does, right? It's really awesome. And I love this little booklet. So then there's another one where, and this is in John 11. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. And if you know the story of Lazarus, he died. And when he was ill, his sisters came to Jesus and said, Jesus, he's going to die. Can you come with them? And Jesus said, no, that's okay. And he didn't go. And they couldn't understand why he could have saved him. And God's going, well, because I prayed and the Father told me this is what I'm supposed to do. And that's what he did, right? And so they told him, hey, you got to do this. You got to do it. He goes, he stayed 2 more days. Right? I don't know, but that's supernatural to stay 2 more days when that's happening, right? Because I want to go fix things. I'm the kind of person, let me go fix it. Let me go in there with my tools and fix it, right? And Jesus says, no, God said to do this. That does need fixing, but God doesn't have that for me, right? And so that's awesome. I got 10 more minutes. I'm right on time. Lord, thank you. So he says, let us go somewhere else to nearby villages so I can preach there also. That's why I came before he said that. Oh, I went backwards. In both of these situations, Jesus's yes to the Father's purpose meant saying no to the urgent demands of human need, right? And that's what we're supposed to do. And, obviously, you could say, well, that's Jesus. You know, I can't do that. Well, we can if he showed us the example. He laid down his power. He laid down his claim to the power of God. He laid it down so that he could show us how we're supposed to live. We're supposed to live every moment on relying on the Father. That's what gives you peace. That's how you easy does it, right? And as he said, my burden is how's it, Andy? Where is it? Okay, I don't know the scripture where it is. Yes, and that's what it is. That's what God is. So when you follow him, we think that, oh, I won't have any choices or I can't do any. No, that's freedom. It's like, God, let him do it. And he just kind of guides us gently where we're supposed to go, right? If we let him. But if he's going here and we're like, I'm going this way, it doesn't work, right? And that's what happens when we're trying to do our own things, what we think is supposed to be done, because we're not listening to the Father. We can't hear him. I can't hear him. I'm sorry. I don't mean to say we. I mean I and us, but mostly me. P.T. Forsyth once said, the worst sin is prayerlessness. Prayerlessness. Does this statement surprise us? We usually think of murder and adultery as among the worst offenses against God and humanity. But the root of all sin is self-sufficiency, independence from the rule of God. When we fail to wait prayerfully for God's guidance and strength, we are saying with our actions, if not with our words, that we do not need him. How much of our service is actually a going it alone? And, you know, I've been serving around here for many years, and a lot of it was I was going it alone. And how you know it is the fruit of it later, you know, is that I'm all tired and wiped out, and next time R&R comes, I don't really want to go because I did stuff in my own strength. But when I do things in God's strength, I'm so energized, and it brings me joy, and you know it. When you're in God's will, you know it. There's no explaining it. I really like this example right here. Before we consider basic principles in the stewardship of time, let us note a parallel between spending dollars and hours. I think this is a great, I got this little booklet a long time ago, but I didn't see any of this stuff when I read it last night. I was too busy. It says here, modern advertisers budget millions of dollars to persuade us that we have needs their products are designed to meet, and store managers have a canny knack for arranging items to attract our attention on the way in or out. Like Costco. You ever go out of there without spending $300? I don't. As a result, we sometimes impulsively spend money for products we don't really need and didn't intend to buy. And this is kind of, you got to think about this with your time, right? The parallels here are uncanny. For me, hardware stores have a strong attraction. Me, Snap-on tools and tool places, I love them. I'm fascinated by the variety of tools and gadgets. Suppose that today I need a new electric drill for an important home project and remember a special cash and carry price of $17.90. I don't know what century this is in, but it's like $179 right now. I put $20 in my wallet and head for the hardware store. I never put only $20 in my pocket. I need $100 because I might need some other things. I put $20 in my wallet and head for the hardware store. Basically, he's saying I got $20 to go to do something, right? But just inside the store, I spot a set of 5 unusual screwdrivers on sale for $3.95 and purchased them. See, my wife's laughing because I like flashlights or any kind of tools. That's me. Several counters further on, a new kind of wrench catches my eye, and I spend another $6.90. When at last I reach the electric drills, I discover that I no longer have enough money to buy what I came for. So funny. If I had the honesty to return home and tell the family my sad story, how much sympathy would I get? What would they think of my excuse? I didn't have enough money for the drill. At the moment, the screwdrivers and wrench seemed important, but in the end, they robbed me of the drill I really needed. So the story is that if you're spending your time on things that they'll rob you of what's important, right? They'll rob you of it. It's like just drives you crazy. So there's like 5 things that in this book that talks about, and I got like 4 minutes, and that'll be fine. Here's the 5 things that he says to do. Decide what's important, right? Discover where your time goes. So when you're, you know, like, is this really that important? Is sweeping the floor more important or getting to work on time? Or you write, I mean, all the different things that you can talk about. Discover where your time goes, right? And that's the thing about writing it down, right? It's like a budget. It's like a money budget. It's almost the same thing. Budget your time. And the next time I speak, you guys need to ask me if I've done it, okay? Because I want to be accountable. So all my friends here that know me on a regular basis, ask me if I've done this, okay? Because I really want to be accountable to this. Budget the hours. So find out where you, because first you got to see where your money goes or where your time goes, and then you have to go, okay, this is the allotted time I have. Now I have 2 part-time jobs, and it's really hard. I'm trying to, as I started working here and then my other job part-time, it's hard to manage my time. So I need to do this. Follow through. And the last thing is evaluate. I like this quote right here. I have come to realize that I am the indispensable person only until the moment I say no. Like, I'm the only person who can do this, right? And then you say no, and magically someone else appears to do it. It really, seriously, and I think that I'm so important sometimes that you know. So, says this former President Greenwald of DuPont said, 1 minute spent in planning saves 3 or 4 minutes in execution. So planning is the key here, right? It's planning, just like recovery. It's like, we do these things according to plan, not what I, just any whim that comes to me. So we have to be, so we're purposeful about this. We have to go, okay, this is what I want to do. I'm going to do this. Christians who are too busy to stop, take spiritual inventory and receive their assignments from God become slaves to the tyranny of the urgent. They may work day and night to achieve much that seems significant to themselves and others, but they don't complete the work God has for them to do. That's me. That's us. Prayerful waiting on God is indispensable to effective service. And then this is my last thing. I'm going to leave you with this thought here. It is not God who loads us until we bend or break with an ulcer, heart attack, or stroke. These largely come from our inner compulsions under the pressure of external demands. So take it easy, slow down, and help. Let's help each other do this, right? When you see your brother doing that, slow him down. Say, look, what's important here? Let me pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this wisdom that came through through AA and through your word, Lord. We just thank you for that. We thank you that you make everything clear and simple. Lord, help us to slow down and hear your voice, Lord, because what you tell us is more important than anything else that we can hear in this world. And so, Lord, help us to be, help us to evaluate what we do in our lives, the urgent things that we think have to be done now. Help us to discern them and hear your voice so that we can do your work, Lord, the work that you have us to do so that we don't waste our life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. Thank you, Bruce. Right on. Come on. Give it up for Bruce.